I just ought to, because she said I'm to say grace, so but I think that's going to happen, you know, at the end. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yes, yes, I'll. Good morning. I shan't drink at all. That might be not a good idea.
Pens and paper okay on the table?
Yes, yes, and I think there's a Bible on each table. I mean, we may not. It's with these things, it's such a job to know how much you're going to be able to do, because you don't know how long. If people get involved, then you have to cut some stuff out, you know. So I'm trying to be flexible and hoping I get it right. So
you'll get it spot on. I really enjoyed the previous cafe.
Oh, right. Good. Okay.
It's lovely.
It's a bit more. It's a bit more frightening from up. Because, as you say, it has to be fluid, and yet you've got to prepare, because if you didn't prepare anything and nobody spoke or said anything, I know that probably wouldn't happen here, but you just never know, do you? People
yes.
come with... So,
yes.
When I say frightening, I don't mean that, but more...
No, it's more...
And you want
yes.
to do something different,
yes.
otherwise
yes.
we're already doing different, is sitting around a table,
well, yes,
you
right.
know, which
I
is...
Say you pitched it perfectly.
People obviously like it. We haven't got
yes.
round to it yet. We're going to get round to it at the end of this month. So,
yes. So at least you have a taste for that here, and sort of.
But you've been doing it quite a while, presumably.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yeah. And initially, yeah. numbers dropped off a lot. People often didn't like the format.
Right.
But I think it's a great idea, because you get to know people better around the table.
Yeah.
And especially
yeah.
discussing things together.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And
yeah.
It's a nice form of worship. But as I say, it's a bit of a challenge in terms of...
Good morning to you. Good morning. Nice to see you. Thank you. Absolutely. Obviously a professional on the job.
I've never achieved the age of 7 yet. I'm working on it. My grandson's 6 and he's much more intelligent than I am.
David, you always read wonderful.
Good morning. Of course, when you have food, it's amazing how people come. Good morning, good morning. Well, I'm glad it's a buffet, because, you know, I thought, gosh, it's going to be a hot meal. You know, we're going to have fun, because you just don't know how, you know, how to time this service. I can time what I'm going to say. I can time the hymns, but you can't time the interaction, the other bit.
I agree, that's right. There's too long a gap while the food's heating up at the service.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Hello. Morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Good morning.
Isn't
how are you?
Name?
Yes, I do. But I couldn't put a name to you,
no,
I'm afraid.
No. I worked at the Hope Centre.
Sorry?
I worked at
you
the Hope
did,
Centre.
You did. Frank
with
said
your
to
husband.
Me last, I think when he was last here, he said, either he saw someone from the Hope Centre or...
He saw me.
That's right, yes. And he said again, I couldn't think of the name, but I knew I'd seen.
It was really nice to see you.
Yeah, good. Thank you very much. Yes, I'm not going to risk having a full cup
like that.
As age, you know, takes over. It's some. Yes. It's such a compelling reminder of old age. You know what I mean? You can't kind of forget it, can you? And you've got to do something about it. And if you don't, then there's even more of a problem. Hello. Yes, thank you. No, we're fine. There's no mirror in the prayer room. That's my one. I think pointed is lovely. But if you're putting dress or, you know, there's no mirror. Just a... She's a part of the working group. She doesn't want to be, or she can't. I mean, she's a bit awkward because Audrey Williams, because she was at Langley for many years. So it's kind of a historic thing. Not Langley. She was at Mollington. Mollington closed, so they went to Prestbury. Yes. Well, I mean, some of age now and they can't get, but when they originally came, it was about 17. But the premises at Bollington were huge, and they just there didn't seem to be anywhere else to. Yeah. I'm so glad. Gawsworth, we've only got a small building, you know. Because it's not a terrible weight on you. You are, yes. Yeah. Just beginning to build up again after COVID. I know it sounds really silly, but not only lose people through age and death, which is a natural thing, but you also lose them because they find other things to do. or they go to other places. And so, I think we should be delayed starting. For all the premises you've got a very small access to your kitchen, haven't you?
Yes.
You know, I was just saying to the lady who's just prayed with me, the one thing that I find difficult here is that there's no mirror in that room where you get changed. So if you want to do your hair, you've got to come out, go in the toilet. which isn't that difficult to organise. But
you could always use the minister's room. I'm not sure. I don't know where the minister. I'll have a look in the minister's room.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to do it there. I think the other one's right down this corridor, isn't it? So.
Yeah, it's more convenient. You're right. Yeah. You could do it. Not in the mirror. Maybe a movable one, so we could just leave that in there for some.
I think the thing in that room where I've changed, that the Easter thing is brilliant. I don't know who set that up, but that was really good. Really good.
We're lucky we have some really gifted people in the church.
You do. You do. Yeah.
Really getting an insight into spiritual things.
Yeah. And you also got ecology, well. Ecological people. And justice people. I think, you know, you're very, very. But it's just getting them into the kind of circuit, and you know, so we can all share in those gifts.
Oh yes, yes, you know. It's a lovely picture that with different churches have a different mix of skills.
Yeah.
And to be able to.
But to make them available, we've got to know one another, and
yes,
I think
we've never,
even since COVID, we haven't really. The preachers get to know people, but the other congregations don't. But when we have a united service, I mean, it's packed out, either at MAC or here.
Yes, yes.
It's such a benefit to be had from that point of view.
No, I agree. Absolutely. Yes, yes. That's a really good thought. So it's just how we can develop that sort of fellowship and
yes,
connection.
Because really, we're not far from one another, are we? You know, I think people should. People could
make
come and be. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's always nice to visit another church. Everybody's so friendly.
And
that's a lovely thing about the Methodist Church, that the people are local.
They are.
Church
yeah.
Go to. It's always a warm welcome.
Yes, thank you. I hope Ros is coming too, but I don't know where she is.
Yes, I'm sure it's her name on the list.
Oh, good. Such a shock when she said she was going. I wouldn't have been surprised if she didn't want to be re-invited when, you know, at the end of the stage, because it's a long way from her family. And, you know, she's had a lot of travelling, not only here, but in the past circuit. I wouldn't have been surprised that. But then she accepted another 5 years. And I was a bit concerned about it because I thought, it's a long while. I was 3 years in a different place from my husband. And I know the toll that it can take. And I hadn't got the worry of elderly parents at that point, you know, so.
With Ros, I've always been concerned about the work she had to do as well.
But you know, she has to do what's right for her and for her family. But it has, you know, meant that Graham has got a real problem on his hands.
Of course,
you know?
Absolutely.
So,
well, absolutely. It's a loss for
I think in a way though it may bring us together, because I think one of his things is to get two people from each church into a little group to decide what more we can do together, because we aren't going to be able to do all those things preaching wise, you know, because there just aren't the people. Yeah. If we may be able to get started in a few minutes. Yes.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Judy. And a very warm welcome to everyone to this Sunday morning service of worship. There's one brief notice. The quiz for Christian Aid. You'll see that on the notices. There's a slight variation from what it says on the notices. The notices state that the quiz will be emailed out, but it will in fact be handed out in printed form. And the quiz will be available next Sunday. So it's a good cause for Christian Aid. It's £2 to enter, and it's part of an area quiz. It's not just something we're doing at this church, but it's something that's happening throughout the area. So. And Margaret is organising that. So I'd all encourage you all to take part in the quiz and support a good cause. Now, I have a very special announcement to make this morning, and it was a great pleasure to mention Mandy and Chris's golden wedding anniversary that they celebrated, I believe, was it Saturday before last? So very many congratulations and all the very best to Chris and Mandy for their 50th golden wedding anniversary. And it's really lovely to be able to celebrate a lunch together with Chris and Mandy after the service in the worship area here, or rooms 1 and 2 if you prefer, to celebrate together. I'd love to take the opportunity as well to thank Mandy and Chris for all the work they do for the church. There's all the obvious things, but there's a lot of work that Chris and Mandy do behind the scenes as well. Thank them for their faith, their love, their energy, and all they do for the church. So shall we join together and celebrate? happy anniversary from us all. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome the Reverend Sheila Bishop to lead our service of worship this morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And a very happy Easter to you, because it's not too late, because Easter is a fact that is ongoing and demands a response. And our response is to the love of God in Jesus Christ, to come and worship together. We seem to have a full house. I'm sure it's not the preacher, so it must be the lunch. Just a few moments as we think together quietly. Father God, let our chief conversation be with you this morning. Let the joy of our salvation be in your grace. And may the heart of our faith be your presence here among us, living and with us. Amen. 314, this hymn would get us going. We'll stand to sing it. This joyful Easter time, what need is there for grieving? Before our prayers, we're going to listen to the epistle reading for today.
The reading is taken from the first book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 7a, and it's from the NIV. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been known. We know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray.
Let us pray. On this second Sunday of Easter, we bring our prayers to the God who raised Jesus Christ from death and who offers each one of us that same power to transform our lives, live his way, and have eternal life. We come to you, Lord God, the one who created us and gave us birth, for you are the light that can never be put out. And now you have given us that light within us, which can drive away all darkness. Yours is the warmth that embraces us each day and enables us to love others. You are the life that defies death, and you can lift us from sorrow and despair as you did your disciples, those who were heartbroken to lose their friend and saviour, and who had let him down so badly at the end, denying, forsaking, and betraying him. We confess, Lord God, that none of us is a great Christian. We are all humble and ordinary and let you down often. We thank you that your grace is enough for us and your forgiveness unconditional. Arouse us this morning through your worship to a learning faith which can enable us to witness to you. Make us obedient to the way of life which you have prepared for all who love you. And do not allow any of us to remain apathetic or indifferent to the glory of Easter, but to embrace its joy and the sense of excitement. And keep us, we pray, from sinning, even as you have promised those who follow Christ. A moment of silence for our individual confession. Lord Jesus Christ, you came into the world, lived our life, and then laid it down willingly on the cross. And it is through that cross that we have forgiveness and we can find faith. Be with us now. Hear our prayer. And as you have come to bring good news that our sins are forgiven, we give you our thanks. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. A young trainee vicar was reading the gospel, and at the end he said, "Here endeth the gospel." The bishop on the front row, who was judging his performance, was heard to mutter, "Heaven forbid, the gospel must never come to an end." Well, I know that many people here are Bible students, and I have been glad to join you on Zoom for some of your Bible studies during COVID and since then. And we've come today to study the Bible. You will have your favourite passage, and you may be in a moment able to tell the people on your table what that is. Some of us would say that possibly the prodigal son is the most beautiful story in the New Testament. But if it is, then I would want to say that the most beautiful scene that Luke wrote was the story of the Emmaus Road. And that is going to take up our thinking, but also the passage which follows it, which we might want to avoid because it becomes a little bit more difficult. We shall hear that gospel reading as dialogue. Mandy and Chris are going to read it for us. Cleopas was one of the people walking the Emmaus Road. We don't know who was with him, could have been his wife, so we're going to have it as such today. And we do offer them our congratulations and are so glad that they can take part in this story. I'd like to just introduce and outline what we're going to do, some of which I've already mentioned. We're also going to, because it's Luke's gospel, learn a little bit about Luke or rethink perhaps what we know about Luke. We're also going to sing a hymn to a familiar tune, but words that we haven't perhaps sung before, which is part of the Easter section in our voice, in our hymn book. But we're also going to have time for sharing. So before that, we're going to sing a hymn. We're going to remain seated and sing, "I Know That My Redeemer Lives," and think of all the ways in which the risen power of Christ affects our lives. "I Know That My Redeemer Lives."
Assurance gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer
So on your tables, just think together, what do you know about Luke and his gospel? See if you can come up with one or two things. Luke, St. Luke and his gospel, the fourth gospel in our, the third gospel in our New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. You're not going to be examined on it, so don't worry. Right, let's just see if you've come up with some of the things which are going to be on the screen now. Right, I wonder if anybody, if you've got something on your table that looks like something here, but these are the things that I've collected. We don't know a great deal about Luke. He was a Gentile, we think. He hasn't been mentioned with those who were circumcised, which would have been the Jewish people. You may be surprised to know that he wrote 24% of the New Testament because he wrote how many books? Two books, right. He wrote 38,000 words in total. Some people have a weird way of using their leisure, but somebody's counted them up. He wrote, of course, the Gospel, and he wrote the Acts of the Apostles. In the Acts of the Apostles, we hear how the Saviour is taken out of the church and into the world as people are told the good news of the Easter story. And there are three mentions in the epistles about him, and that's all we have. In Colossians 4, he's referred to as the beloved physician. Does anyone know how that shows in his gospel? Well, there are lots of stories of healing. There are also lots of stories about women, and we'll look at that in just a moment.
And food.
Sorry?
And food.
And food, quite. So he should have been here this morning, shouldn't he? Philemon listed him as one of Paul's fellow workers. Philemon, you remember, tells the story of the slave who ran away and ran to Paul for help. And in 2 Timothy, Paul writes, Luke alone is with me. Now, that was a time when Paul wrote that when he was in prison for a very long time. And it appears that Luke stayed with him. And in fact, Luke followed him on his journeys throughout the then known world. So he was probably a very close and intimate friend of Paul's, which if you look that up, you can see in those verses. What we're grateful for Luke for, because we've of course got Matthew, Mark, and John as well, but Luke has things in the Bible which we would not have if Luke had not written them. And these are some of the things. He told the births of John and Jesus, foretelling them, and also recording their births, those wonderful birth stories that we celebrate at Christmas. Not all in Luke, but the ones about Mary and the Annunciation and so on are in Luke. He also tells the only incident we've got of Jesus as a boy in the Bible when he went and got lost in the temple. Well, at least he wasn't lost, but his parents were searching for him. They'd lost him. the mission of the 72 that were sent out, and some of the Easter stories, including chapter 24 that we're going to be studying today. Then there were the healings, the widow of Nain's son, who you remember was healed and raised by Jesus, and the 10 lepers that were cleansed. The parables, all of them there, are to be found in Luke's gospel. And some of those are very, very important and special to us. Looking at that list there, has anybody got a favourite, perhaps, parable that's listed there? Thank you. Right, yes. I need to come over. The one about the 10, the 5, and the 1 talent. The persistent widow. Sometimes we have to be persistent in order to get what we need, especially in the area of justice. And she kept going to the judge, you remember. And he didn't give it to her because he was a kind judge. He gave it to her because he was fed up with her bothering him. Lazarus and the rich man, the Pharisee and the tax collector. Right. The prodigal, yes. The lost son was in the parables here. Okay, let's just move on. Where did he get his material? Because so much of it was new and wasn't copied. Obviously, he had read some of the other Gospels because he wrote his later. We believe that he interviewed Mary, who, of course, the mother of Jesus, remained in the church. She was there at the foot of the cross. She was there at Pentecost, and she was a convert, as it were, to her son as Jesus Christ. From Peter, who was ministering in Rome when Paul was in prison, they were both there together. And from Philip, when Paul was in Caesarea Philippi. And the travel diary that he kept, which of course tells us exactly which ports they went to, when it was a storm, and so on. And the only list we have, and the accurate detail of places and weather. And there's a way of looking up when he was there, because we find the word we. And you might want just now to look up one of those and just check that I've got it right. Chapter 16, verses 10 to 7. Look for the word we. It means that he's saying we, I'm there with Paul. So that's quite important. For what are you most grateful to St. Luke in the stories he tells? Well, we've begun to talk about that. Let's just look up those we passages if you want to. To each table can take one to do. Just 2 minutes to do that. If anyone has found it, we can just have it read out. That would be good. You've got one? Good. Okay, thank you. Yes, several people have found those we passages. Well worth looking out for when you're reading the Acts of the Apostles. We're going to sing a hymn now. We're going to sing it to a tune that we know, but the words are different. If anyone, hands up who you remember the Methodist hymn book. Do you remember an evening hymn, Lord Jesus in the days of old, who walked with we Emmaus ward? and love's blind instinct made them bold to crave thy presence through the night. That's the story that we're going to hear. This is the hymn, not the Victorian version, but an up-to-date version by Michael Peterson, and we're going to sing it now. We'll stand to sing.
Comes to us unknown. Then the stranger asks a question, what is this which troubles you? Meets us in our pain and suffering, Jesus walks with us unknown. In our trouble, words come from him, burning fire within our hearts, tells to us the scripture's meaning, Jesus speaks to us unknown. Then we near our destination, then we ask the stranger in, and he yields unto our urging, Jesus stays with us unknown. Day of sorrow is forgotten when the guest becomes the host, taking bread and blessing, breaking, Jesus is himself made known. Opened eyes, renewed convictions, journey back to scenes of pain, telling all that Christ is risen, Jesus is through us made known.
And that hymn with the last line tells us, for the first, I think, four verses, Jesus was with us, unknown by us. And so often that happens in our life. And then sometimes there comes Jesus made known to us. We actually recognize him in whatever it is that we're doing or reading or thinking or meeting with somebody else. And then the last bit, of course, we go to make Jesus known in our lives, and that's really the story of today. Mandy and Chris, thank you.
Do you remember that day when our friend Jesus was crucified?
How could I ever forget it? The dreadful suffering. I couldn't watch. And then the overwhelming disappointment.
We just wanted to get away from the city of Jerusalem, I remember. And we hurried down the road to our cottage in Emmaus.
Oh, Jerusalem had been the city of our dreams when Jesus had ridden into it and was hailed as king.
We truly believed, you see, that Jesus was the one whom God had sent to help us. Then a few days later, he was crucified, dead and buried, put in a borrowed tomb.
We had to get away. But I've never known you so quiet as you were on that journey to Emmaus.
Well, there was nothing more to say. Talking wouldn't bring Jesus alive again. Though some of the women we knew who were his friends said that they had been to the tomb earlier to anoint his body and found the stone at the entrance rolled away and the tomb empty. We didn't know what to make of that.
The journey seemed endless, even though it's only 7 miles. That is, until a stranger came along, as if to go past us. He greeted us, and then slowed his pace. He asked us where we are going, and why we looked so sad.
He didn't seem to know anything about the crucifixions. We told him how heartbroken we were that the man we thought was God's Messiah had been killed.
He seemed to tell us off then, for not understanding what was going on, asking us, have you read the scriptures?
Well, of course we had, at synagogue school, and when we attended on Saturdays. But it hadn't seemed to make much sense then. I wasn't a very good scholar, I'm afraid.
He knew about it all right. And as we walked, he took us through the Old Testament and told us we should expect Jesus to suffer and die because it had all been foretold years ago.
As he talked with us, it all made sense, and we felt a little less sad.
I remember that when we got near to our home, I asked this stranger if he'd like to stay and have supper with us. Well, it just felt right, the right thing to do.
He hesitated and then said he would be glad to. We got a simple meal ready while he rested. We asked him to begin the meal by breaking the bread and saying the grace.
It was then, as he broke the bread, that we felt our eyes opened, and unbelievably we knew that against all the odds, this stranger had to be Jesus. Though crucified, somehow he was with us, sharing this meal.
We remembered then how he made us feel as he walked with us on the road, how our gloom seemed to lift and everything seemed possible.
Then, just as we recognised him, we couldn't see him anymore. But somehow it didn't matter. We didn't need to see him to know that he had kept his promise when he'd told us that he would return to us.
We looked at each other and knew what we had to do. His other friends needed to be told. So, not wasting another moment, we hastily cleared the table, locked the door, and set off the way we had come back to Jerusalem to find his disciples. Our tired legs seemed to find new strength as we ran with the good news. Jesus is alive. We've met him.
The disciples weren't hard to find. They were locked in that upper room where they'd shared supper with him on the Thursday before he was arrested in the garden and taken prisoner.
We banged on the door in our excitement and both shouted,
We have seen the Lord.
Then they let us in. And as we spoke, Jesus was there again, alive and smiling and saying, Shalom, peace be with you.
Then he showed us his hands with the nail prints still raw on them. Further proof, if we needed it, that this really was Jesus. What celebrations we had together that evening.
And it wasn't the last time we saw him either. Some weeks later, he told us to go to Bethany, to a hill, where we would meet with him. Sure enough, Jesus was amongst us there too.
It was as if he knew that we needed his presence for a while to lift our sorrows and increase our faith.
I remember he lifted up his hands over us all and blessed us. His clothes became dazzling white. And then as we were talking to him, a cloud came and hid him from our sight. But we weren't afraid. His presence felt very real. We knew he loved us, so we waited together. And one day his spirit came like a mighty rushing wind and like fire. But that's another story.
It's amazing how the word written so long ago becomes a living word through the power of the Holy Spirit. And what an amazing story that is, full of sorrow and puzzlement, grief, joy, recognition, confusion, admonition. Jesus was lost in the temple and his parents searched for him. And here, two people are searching for a Jesus who they believe dead, and yet they still need in their lives. Jesus, in this story and in the one that we're going to hear in a moment, kept on about the fact that this had all been foretold in the scriptures. In Genesis, when God gave life and forgiveness to the first man and woman. In Exodus, where the law of 10 commandments precedes the law of love that Jesus gives us. In the ideal king that David was to be for God. And of course, Jesus was of his line. And in Isaiah's vision of how through his stripes and his wounds, we shall be healed. So it's important that we root ourselves in the scripture and we know scripture. It's so easy to be neglectful, isn't it? To just have a portion on Sunday read. But let's be Bible Christians and really know our scripture. I want us just to talk together about our reactions. Try to put yourselves in the place of either Cleopas or his wife, friend, and just say how you might have felt on the journey. You can find it if you want to read it again, but I think it has been illustrated for us in a very powerful way. But it's in Luke chapter 24. And in that chapter, Paul puts all four of his resurrection appearances into one day. It begins very early on the first day of the week. So here we have an abundance of proof that Christ is alive. Just spend a moment sharing in how you felt as it was read. I'm conscious of time, and I think we need to just curtail this just at the moment. We're going to sing another hymn, Seated. It's 306, and it talks of, it's a hymn about what Jesus said when he said that a wheat of grain must go into the ground and die in order to find new life. And this hymn speaks of that and of the Easter story. So let's just sing this, and after it, we're going to just listen to the end of Luke 24, which is going to be read for us from the Bible. So let's sing. Now the green blade rises from the buried grain. It's 306 if you're using a book.
Luke 24 continues to tell us how Jesus appears to the disciples. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them,
"Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Amen.
Perhaps it's because I'm getting old, but the thought of death occurs to me more frequently these days. And when I think about it, I have to remain fairly agnostic as to what actually is going to happen, where I'll be, and what it will be like. I wonder if it's the same for you. Here is Jesus, the same, recognizable, but transformed. No bones and flesh, but eating fish, passing through doors, but not surely just a ghost. I wonder what things you find difficult as you begin to think, not only of just of this story, but of course of your own mortality. I think we haven't really got time to spend, which we could have done, but that doesn't matter. There may be other opportunities, and you already perhaps have done them. The resurrection and the ascension, which we shall celebrate soon, are things which stretch our mind and our imagination further than we like. Because as Christians, we know we should have faith, and we do have faith, but we are also conditioned by the world of sin and death in which we live and which is reality. St. Paul struggled with this whole scenario in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And although he spent a long chapter on it, I don't think at the end he too was over certain about how it would be. I suppose I place my thoughts and my hopes in the promises of Jesus, who said to his disciples, "Because I live, you shall live also." And again, "Where I am, you will be also." But clearly, in that passage which has been read for us, repentance in our life here and now must play a huge part. Repentance and accepting forgiveness for ourselves and forgiving other people. Celebrating God's forgiveness. You will remember that truth and reconciliation commission in South Africa, which Bishop Tutu presided over. What an amazing work that did, bringing together people who scarcely would have forgiven one another because of what had been done to them, and the divide that existed between them. And out of it came a more peaceful settlement. And it is this peace that we're searching for, because Jesus has promised a peace which passes understanding. Because I live, you shall live also. It seems to me that if we are with Christ in this life, in the here and now, we shall continue to be with him in the there and then. and the elements that we need, as well as repentance and forgiveness, is to be rooted in Scripture and to read the Scriptures with the aid of the Holy Spirit, ever expecting to find new insights for us, to be open in prayer about our doubts and the things that confuse us, to be honest in prayer, as the psalmists were, about what troubles us and how angry we feel with God about some of the things which have overtaken us. But to stay long enough with God in our quiet times, in our worship, to hear the assurance of his presence, and to give and to live as forgiven people, full of joy. I think it was an undertaker who said about a congregation who came for a funeral service, well, they don't look as if they've been saved. Well, in a funeral service, naturally, we are sad. But we need to go about our daily lives as saved people, full of joy, with the knowledge of the good news. And finally, we're not let off the hook because we may have doubts, because the last thing that Jesus says to them in Bethany, you are to be my witnesses. You are to be my witnesses. It's an enormous undertaking, but we do it so much better together. And when we come to worship and are refueled by studying the Scriptures and knowing that our faith is strengthened and we can go out with the assurance of God's Holy Spirit. Let us bring our prayers for other people. Let us pray. God, whose power raised your Son Jesus Christ from death, lay your hand with loving tenderness on all who need to hear the message of Easter most. Because the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost, we pray this morning for those who have lost dear ones and whose hearts are sad, that they may find peace, solace, purpose, and hope in the resurrection. We pray for those who feel that they've been given a raw deal in this life and have lost any sense of their own worth and feel they are defeated by circumstances that they may have encountered. May their eyes and hearts be opened not only to their sadness and their regret, but to the love of God, which is unconditional and for all, because we, in our encounter with them, are witnesses to the joy of the risen Christ. We pray too for those who once felt their hearts strangely warmed and came to faith, but who now have lost their faith in Christ and the possibility that life can be different, and that this Easter they may once again find hope and joy in believing. And we pray too for those who believe only in the love of power and are intent on bloodshed and revenge, that somehow they may be committed and concerned enough to find that the power of love and forgiveness are so much stronger. Finally, we pray for ourselves, because we know that we are ill-equipped to be witnesses to the love of God. But we also know of the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. And we ask that each one of us will be anointed with that Spirit, and the healing stream of God's love may be exercised through us, so that those we meet may find renewal and hope. And all this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our final hymn is 297, and it challenges us with this concern and command we've had to be witnesses. Christ is alive. Let Christians sing, the cross stands empty to the sky.
Is alive, let Christians sing, the cross stands empty to the sky. Let's greet and house with gladness ring, the world in death shall never die. Christ is alive, no longer bound to distant years in Palestine, but safe. Christ is alive and comes to bring good news to this and every age. Tell earth and sky and ocean ring with joy, with justice, love and praise.
May the peace of the risen Lord, who is Christ our King and the conqueror of death, be always with you. Go now and witness to the power of the resurrection in your own life and words, and in your life here together as the Methodist community. And go in the power of the Holy Spirit. The blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.